Hello, everybody. Welcome again to Markets Monday, brought to you by the HISA team. As usual, every Monday, we sit down and we talk about what's moving markets, what is it that really touched on markets in the previous week. Today, we'll basically be touching on how markets performed last week, some of the gainers last week, some of the losers, and why these stocks probably hit onto that direction. And joining me is Ali Mwakaneno. Ali?
Hi guys, good to be here.
Yeah, so it's been a very interesting week for last week was a very interesting week, and we're really hoping that, it's a very chilly morning here in Nairobi, but we are positive. The sun was up a few minutes ago and now it's gone again. And whoever's hiding the sun, please, you can let it shine. It's Nairobi, global warming. Let us also feel a little bit of that sense. But last week was a very interesting one. And some of the things that really, really stood out for us is that the overall market activity, the projection of the market, starting with the NSE indices, and also looking at it from the global indices, were pretty mixed. If you're looking at it from a global perspective, then the indices were slightly mixed, because we saw the S&P 500, for instance, post its first 5-day losing streak on the market. But on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, this was a little bit different. We also saw a few markets in Asia as well post gains. And so you're seeing a little bit of a very interesting bit here in terms of markets. But I know that's something that we're going to be looking at as we go through. We're also going to be looking at a few things, a few data, and just as everything is coming up to you as an investor on the market, it will be pretty interesting just to see how that goes. I know there's also a very interesting bit that interesting topic Ali wants us to talk about today, so will pretty much be interesting. Ali, back to
Llanos. That's already something that we covered earlier on the HISA newsletter. If you haven't received the HISA newsletter, that's probably because we're yet to get your email. Sign up for the newsletter at hisa.co to get, you know, amazing tidbits a couple of times a week on what's happening. And something that I found interesting was just the number of people that were duped by Theranos, Felix. It's crazy how a company that put up a front as a pharmaceutical company with rapid testing capabilities was just using, you know, the same traditional technology that we're using, and managed to raise crazy seed fund. I mean, how could people not see this one coming? Anyway, I think it's a lesson for investors in general that, you know, there's a certain level of precautions that we all ought to take, especially when a deal looks too good. Because, I mean, look at it this way. Some of the investors here, like the Walton family, which is the founders of Walmart, you know, provided up to $150 million. You know, Rupert Murdoch had $125 million. Former U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos had put up to $100 million. You know, that's a lot of money lost to a scam.
I don't know. Would you really call it a scam, Ali?
Seriously, what would you call it?
I think I would call it. I don't know if we could call it a failed investment.
Come on.
Because, you know, it was a very interesting bit, and also you're looking at the people who invested into this. Turned out to be a pretty interesting bit for investors on the market.
Right. And
so that came in very handy.
I don't know what,
you know, Ali, this is somebody who is picking funds from the Wharton family. Come on, that is one of the richest families in the United States, man, in the world.
So you want to call her what's the word? Scammer extraordinaire.
Now, you know, I think it's pretty much interesting, and that's where And you know, basically today, if you read through the HISA newsletter, guys, then you'd really know that one of the things that we're really encouraging is that as an investor, you need to take time and you need to understand the basics of any investment, at least the fundamentals, before you invest. You know, who's really bringing in? And remember, we've always talked about, when you're doing your fundamental analysis. And the first thing that you really need to do, it's a very important thing. It's actually very free, but most people hardly do it, is do you look at the background of whoever is leading the company you're investing in? Do you look at them? Do you Google their names? Do you probably see somewhere in LinkedIn? You know, you can figure out that you're probably looking at the name of an individual. Then all of a sudden you see that, you know, these guys were actually accused of some fraud in 2001. So it becomes very interesting. You know, somebody like Elizabeth Holmes, the idea is very interesting, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
I would have bought into the idea, you know.
Right.
When Elizabeth Holmes became part of this entire, you know, the global fame came in.
Mm-hmm.
When the global fame came in rolling, you know, it was pretty evident that the idea was a next gen idea. For those of you who might really be wondering just on to what level this really was, she wanted to have guys test, you know, guys probably have just by a drop of blood, a very small drop of blood, you know. And she would test, they actually claimed they would test close to 200 illnesses, including cancer. Jesus. So, you know, we're finding that this is a very interesting bit for a business that later came to be valued at close to $10 billion. And then you're figuring out that the numbers that they were given were actually false. So it really raises a concern, but it's also really been a good opportunity for most investors who've invested in startups in Silicon Valley. You're probably looking at, because the guys who are currently investing in Silicon Valley, Ali, these are people who now have to do a very in-depth research and analysis of various products and also the viability of the investment just before they can pick up to it. So this really stood out as a very interesting bit, a very learning point. And also one thing that we told guys is, you know, you don't have to wait for that learning point to come to you. Look at it from the point of somebody else got burnt, and now you don't want to put your finger in such a program.
Or character
such a
process. Development on your behalf.
Exactly. So pretty much interesting. It's a learning curve, and I'd say for everybody out there, ideas are good, but if you're putting out your business idea, let it be plain and let it be open to everybody, you know. Makes it at least interesting for investors.
Yeah,
Ali, I know you had a lot of insights and a lot of stories because you followed Elizabeth Holmes. You actually believed that this would work some time back. Had the idea?
Did I? I mean, hey, whatever she was offering looked interest first value, but then, first of all, do I even have enough money to invest there? So,
I think for most of us, we were waiting for when the company goes public.
Exactly.
Could you imagine if the company went public? I think that would have been a global level fraud.
That would probably be a stock I would have cheered on his
side. Yeah, because like right now, you know, Holmes and her husband, Sunny, are being charged with wire fraud. And last week on Wednesday, she started the next chapter of her life, because if she's convicted of fraud, then 20 years in prison, man. For 37-year-old, she'll be back in 2047.
Still have enough energy to chuck another startup, just saying.
Oh yeah, and then she was also banned from holding public office and being a director of any company for 10 years. At that time she was valued at $5 billion.
She's going to be in prison in those 10 years. It doesn't matter, does it?
It does.
In case it goes
through. Oh, yeah, exactly.
In case it goes through.
Exactly. So we're really looking at just levels of investing, you know, for guys, what level of investor protection, because we've seen the SEC has brought in a lot of issues, mostly with companies. An example of a company that is currently having issues with SEC is Coinbase. We've also seen the SEC ask a lot of papers from GameStop. And we've also seen a lot of investor activity as well on other mini companies like Robinhood. Would you call Robinhood a mini company? I don't know, but it's still a small cap. And so we're looking at this because one of the things that Robinhood really did, which was interesting, is that they valued the stock at the lowest, you know, so that guys would gain. And that is just one instance. The SEC is really doing a lot in terms of investor protection, mostly. And when they came in and started now looking at guys investing in Silicon Valley, the startups really have to go through a lot of scrutiny before guys have to invest in them. And I don't know what the local player is doing, the local regulator is doing into that case, but it would really be interesting. We've seen a lot also in terms of CMA, you know, getting involved in most of these issues with a lot of companies as well that have been trying to, you know, bring in or raise money from investors. And I think last week, Ali, was it last week when the CMA was given powers to actually, you know, to oversee any investment that is raising money from the public, then the CMA was granted more powers to actually. It was the previous week when the National Assembly actually gave CMA the powers to, you know, oversee. So that we're looking at CMA going to oversee some companies. I know I wouldn't want to mention any, but yeah, we've had a lot of companies that have been in the limelight of the regulator, but the regulator has not been able to do anything because of the regulation that was there earlier. But now with the developed stand, we're likely to see a lot of activity within the CMA. Remember that we've not really seen any that has gone to jail. I think there was a bonds dealer that was jailed by CMA after a very long while. But now we're seeing things really turn out to be on the positive edge. So it will be pretty much interesting. Yeah.
Ali, what are some of the things you're looking forward to? Well, what are some of the things that caught your attention on the local market last week?
Markets. I think the local market, can we just first say that the local market was pretty much has been inactive, mostly because of the primary that has been taking place on the bond market. That's the IFB.
Mm-hmm.
IFB 1 2021-21. That's the 21-year infrastructure bond for issued this year. So we're really going to see a level of, in terms of activity. First of all, the bond was oversubscribed. It was a very interesting bit, Ali.
201%.
Guys have money.
Guys have money, really?
I think, okay, guys don't have money. No, guys are just looking for investment opportunities.
I think guys are just looking for better prospects here.
Yeah.
I mean, there are two ways to look at it, Felix, yeah? Either guys have money, as you say, or B, guys are just looking for safe bets and good returns, and we're not seeing enough of that come from the NSE, at least from the equity side.
Well, I think, yeah, to some extent, I could agree with you. You know, Ali, one of the things that we are probably actually looking at is with the downturn on the equity space, then the only thing that guys would really have to look at is the fixed income space. And so it's really pretty interesting just to what level we're seeing guys getting involved in the fixed income space. And with an oversubscription of 201%, it really means that guys are constantly looking for ways to invest. Or rather, could we put it that investors have been looking for opportunities. Guys want to invest in the equity space and they're seeing that the returns are not promising. The overexposure by, I'd say, a few companies onto the top 95% of activity. About five companies on the NSE are actually taking over 95% of activities on the NSE. It's also become a little bit challenging for investors to invest in global markets. And I think that's one thing that HISA is really working on to ensure that that you know, guys would have easy access to global securities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a very interesting bit. But just giving to you guys the activities, we can see, first of all, the activity for the NSE, to be honest, has been pretty down, but still we're seeing investors are also positive. I don't know about you, if you invested on the IFB or if you're looking for various investment opportunities to, you know, invest in, after this, we can probably have a thread on the HISA app just to have an overview of what's likely to happen, you know, Ali. after this, what opportunities are guys looking at? I know that's something we can actually look into.
Definitely. But then, Felix, you say that there's something that you said with regards to what's happening in the NSC. Funny, we've seen gains in virtually all the indices last week.
Well, you know, one of the things
and
that
the turnover.
One of the things that I think I keep telling guys over and over is, you know, Ali, you can't hold your horses. You can't ride two horses at the same time.
Right. So a horse and a donkey.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to choose your poison. I think it's a challenge to tell guys that the market is performing better than, or to give guys an index when five or so companies or six companies are having close to 98%. If you look at the top 10 companies on the NSE, they're taking over 98% of the total activity on the exchange. And that's pretty much of a very interesting bit. And even if you're looking at it from last week, Safaricom, Equity, KCB, Bamburi, and East African Breweries PLC actually had 90%, 90.98%. That means the remaining close to 45% companies are actively trading. Actually, 55 companies that are actively trading on the NSE only had 10% of the total activity. And of that, Safaricom was also taking half of that share. 50.85% of last week's activity was also with Safaricom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think one of the things that we're really getting to learn over time is it might be pretty hard. We need to figure out ways in which the index could be, could we say that we should rebase the index?
Or like we did with the GDP.
Exactly. Because, you know, it would be unfair to say that the index is a representation of the entire market, because if you look at it from the overall market, we also had companies which really posted massive drops. Last week, we saw companies like Bank of Kigali drop about 17.2%. And I think some of the gainers on the market, and these were the overall sentiment, because, you know, the index is basically giving guys an overall sentiment of just how the market is really performing. But giving guys onto the numbers, last week we saw the NSE All Share Index peak about 0.67 points to close the week at 180.14. The NSE 20 Share Index was also up about 38.07 points to close the week at 2063.44. The 25 Share Index similarly was up as well, 16.49 points to close the week at 3948.99. So pretty much interesting here.
What do we have on the gainers, Felix?
Scan Group is here, guys. Leading last week's gainers with 20% in terms of share price appreciation. And so it was pretty much interesting to see WPP Scan Group emerge after being on the losing side for a very long time. WPP was coming in here and telling guys again, you know what? We're here to gain. The interesting bit, which I think is a very important factor that we really have to talk about, is we saw Kenya Power. Can you imagine? 16.2%.
Right.
So, guys, KPLC was up last week to close the week at 1.58 shilling. That is up from 1.36 shilling that it was at on the Friday of week 35. And even right now on the market, I don't know what KPLC is on. I don't know if there is a bet on, probably there's an NSE bet on KPLC, because KPLC is already up as well, about 4.43% right now on live trading.
Before we proceed with other gainers, Felix, I have a few questions on Scan Group that maybe I'd love some clarity from you. Why is it why do you think Scan Group has been gaining, I think, for the past couple of weeks, despite a slight dip in its bottom line for the recently released results?
Well, I think, Ali, one of the things that we really have to, you know, understand when you're talking about Scan Group is, for now, it's very interesting, first of all, that the company had did not find any, you know, one of the things that guys were really hoping, let me not say guys are hoping for it, but guys had forecasted,
mm-hmm.
was that because the company had fired the then CEO, Bharat, yeah. and the CFO, you know, one of the things that guys had really hoped for was that there could be a likely possibility. There could be a possibility that the company would, you know, jump into some losses.
Mm-hmm.
And the losses really came in. But the good thing is that the company came in and the company told guys, hey, you know what? We do not have, we're not going to, you know, we don't have, they didn't find any material. How did they put it? I'm looking for the word, but the word is lost. But all in all, they were basically telling guys the financials for the previous financial year was good.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't really see any challenge with it. So pretty much interesting.
Yeah, okay.
And we're hoping that the half year results will come in because they were also, the half year results were also delayed. And they had said that was because of the delay as well that they had in the previous year. The delay for the full year financial, sorry.
Question. Could that also be part of the reason? Well, could could the uptick in Scan Group also be because the top executives were actually accelerated?
Yeah, exactly.
So is this?
I think it brought in more confidence into the company, but it's also bringing in a lot of concerns in terms of, you know, guys are probably just wondering what's likely to happen
mm-hmm.
next. Now that we're here, guys are looking at the half year results.
Yeah, because I think one of the things that I was reading about earlier is that, you know, part of the reasons why Scan Group could have been the top gainer last week is because the investors that exited the position when we had issues with the CEO and the CFO mm-hmm. are now buying back.
Oh yeah, pretty much. I think that's an interesting angle to look at it.
Right.
Yeah, but also the guys who had the FOMO, they're now coming in back. There's a lot of FOMO for guys right now on the market. So everybody is having that fear of missing out, you know. They're looking at if these guys reinstated their books, the 2020 books, then there's a high possibility that the half year results are probably going to be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way. I think the third gainer was BOC Kenya.
Yep. I really don't know what BOC is on to. So I wouldn't want to comment on BOC and Sasini. But maybe one of the things that we could, you know, have a little bit of a look onto would be Kenjin. Because Kenjin actually posted gains, I think, after a very long while. The past few weeks have been quite hectic for investors, guys who've invested on Kenjin. And last week we saw Kenjin gain up about 5.2%, which I'd say was impressive, or I'd say was positive for in guys who've invested into Kenjin.
Mm.
5.3% for this, I think, wasn't a bad performance, considering that KPLC, which is another company that guys would always look up to, mm. you know, guys would always compare KPLC and they would also look onto Kenjin, was, on the other hand, really performing on a positive edge.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe just to take you through the top losers this week.
Bank of Kigali. Last week. Bank last of week, Kigali.
Down 17.22%.
After posting those positive vibes, Ali, I don't know what happened to Bank of Kigali.
Felix, me, let me... Honestly, I feel like sometimes I'd rather look at the price of equities from our mid to long term position as opposed to, you know, weekly changes. Of course, except when we have some events that you just can't ignore. But the Bank of Kigali dropped from 36 shillings to 29 shillings 80 cents last week. And then after that, we had EverReady. EverReady was down 9.8%, closing at 92 cents, down from 1 shilling 2 cents. Then what does Olympia do?
I don't know. What's the company really doing? Looks like, okay, guys, to be honest, EverReady, Uchumi, come on. What are these companies doing? Okay, at least EverReady probably is doing some little business back. But come on, companies like Uchumi, and for me, I think EverReady lost the glory when they thought that electricity would never take over the battery industry. Because EverReady should have really gotten into, you know, the businesses of what other battery manufacturers are doing. You know, they should have gone large scale when they had the opportunity to. They should have probably copied other companies, you know, companies like ABM that are probably looking on to chloride exide or something like that. You know, they could work onto something like that. Then it would be a different conversation. But for now, I think they lost the glory. Maybe they need to look at it and, you know, have a different overview.
Who knows? Maybe they might come back and make rechargeable batteries for cars. You never know. That's the next big thing.
Well, the valuation for that company right now, if you look at the financials, an investor probably pulls an NBV on EverReady. Right now, it's a long call. It's a long shot for the investors. Yeah. Talking about Uchumi, Ali. Uchumi is down right now 0.25%. Guys, when we started this discussion earlier this week, one of the things that we actually said that we'd be looking at is Uchumi every single Monday. Because Uchumi is our first probably stock that we're looking up to on a race to zero. And Uchumi is down on trading right now at 3.85%. So pretty much interesting.
Felix, I know we mentioned this in the previous podcast, which is really curious. By the way, live on Hisa, in case you haven't caught it, also live on every other channel. If you're a Spotify person, Castbox person, or wherever you get your podcast,
wherever you're listening,
We're Curious that aired on Friday. The rebasing of the GDP. How is this going to affect what's happening on the equities market in Kenya?
I really don't think there's a lot that would happen, to be honest, for investors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it probably just gives guys, you know, the long-term outlook for the investment opportunities. You know, the growth of the GDP. Last year, we saw the GDP for our country really drop. And we're really hoping that the current financial year will not be the same. And this is despite even seeing an example is, you know, we even saw the president say that, oh, the economy grew and all that. But then when the real data came in, things were pretty much different.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot, you know, when investing, it's never really, the GDP is just that one bit where you're looking at the balance sheet of a country and seeing the overall performance, because this performance would also reflect the performance of various industries, various sectors that you'd probably want to invest in. You know, but I think one of the things that a lot of guys are probably looking at is the ease of doing business in the country, which is really getting in hard day by day.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you're looking at it from a long-term aspect, if you're looking at the taxes, you know, if you're looking at the ease of doing business, I think, Ali, you remember earlier on, I think about a month or two ago, we spoke about the data that was indicating that Rwanda is one of the easiest countries for you to do a startup.
Right.
And Kenya had a lot of startups, but isn't really as easy. Rwanda was the gem of Africa, right? Because it was actually the top when you want to start a business. And if you're looking at the growth of various industries, you know, industries don't really grow from the point of you'd probably have a monopoly. Yes, monopolies can grow, but industries would also grow if there's a lot in terms of, you know, the economic level for a country. These would start on tax policies. These would also touch on various levels as well for you as an investor and for me, for you as an investor and for the business on the other end. So it's one way or another, you know. If there are a lot of stuff like inflation that really cover onto the liquidity that an individual can be able to have. If you have the inflation, if you have constantly rising inflation, that guys would probably see lesser paper value, and that would affect the long-term outlook for investors on various markets. Yeah. So pretty much interesting, Ali. For the GDP guys, in case you missed the data, the agricultural sector is still the dominant sector for Kenya, accounting for 23% of the total value of the economy. And so this is very interesting. You know, agriculture is the backbone of our economy. We've always been told that since you're in primary school, and that continues to really hold here. And now we're seeing here the nominal GDP was up about 4.84% to 10.7 trillion. That's about, to about 10.7 trillion Kenya shillings.
Mm-hmm.
And this was up from 10.25 trillion where the country was at in 2019. The tourism sector seem to have really taken a hit from the impact of the coronavirus, because the pandemic is really coming hot on the tourism sector. Because if you look at it from the data that KNBS had, we're seeing here, by the Treasury, that was released by the Treasury, we're seeing here that the tourism sector was hit by about 44%. The number of visitors coming into the country dropped by over 70%. So this is a very interesting bit. I don't know how the economy in Mombasa, the economy in the coastal areas, or economies that are usually built on tourism, leave alone Kenya, look at it from economies like probably other countries that rely heavily on tourism.
Mm-hmm.
How bad could the economy be?
I think it's definitely something that we anticipated. You know, once we had bans on international flights, tourism was definitely going to crash. And what I'm more curious about is how did most of the people who work in the tourism sector in areas as you mentioned, like more tourist reliant economies within the coast province and some parts of, you know, up north like Naivasha and Nakuru, what was their coping mechanism? What are some of the other sectors that they decided to venture in, given that tourism, at least last year, had dim prospects?
I don't know if guys really moved into agriculture. You know, it's always said when you lose your job in Nairobi, you're told like, rudi nyumbani ulime. So it looks like a lot of guys, because Ali, you know, we're seeing the agriculture and the ICT sector really grew. And those are things that we really have to, first of all, looking on tech and ICT, very interesting. But the agricultural sector in Kenya grew by about 4.6%. So I'm really wondering how we even ended up being in, remember that last week the president declared drought as a national disaster. Did you say, yes, drought definitely leads to hunger. So are guys staying at home? So guys, you know, understanding the entire, I think it's really bad for a country that has agriculture as the backbone of the economy, really ending up and being in a place, you know, getting into a place where we cannot be able to feed ourselves. It's an interesting bit.
Nationwide dry spell. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And also remember last week, was it the chairperson for the CEO for the Kenya National Cereals Produce Board who actually stepped down? So pretty much interesting for guys and, you know, for investors out there, people who are constantly looking into this bit.
Maybe as we move away from what's happening in Kenya to look at what's happening regionally and globally, how did the NSE stack up against other exchanges in sub-Saharan African things? I know that's something that you always look up to, because I have constantly had you praising, you know, other exchanges like Zimbabwe. Is it?
I think, guys, if you're looking at this now, in terms of how the NSE really performed, look, comparing this to various sub-Saharan African markets, is last week was, I'd say, a pretty nasty week for sub-Saharan African markets, because we saw markets like Egypt, for example, post about a 2.17% decline in weekly performance. The NSE, and this is one thing, Ali, I agree with you. Today, let's say the NSE really had it, because Ghana still continues to gain. So yeah, Ghana, remember the previous week as well, Ghana was also on the gaining bit. And Ghana was up about 1.7%. And then we had in terms of, if you're looking at now specific indices, we had the NSE also coming in at about 0.37%.
Right.
But now if you're looking at it in terms of markets, there's, let me just get the right term. It's called the Bourse Regional des Valais Mobiles. Okay, whatever it is. This is a regional stock exchange that performs, that usually serves the West African Economic and Monetary Union.
Mm-hmm.
It's, let me just abbreviate it as BVRM. And BVRM was up last week as well, about BRVM, sorry guys, was up as well, about 0.78%. But in terms of country-specific indices, the NSE was second. And Uganda was down 1.3%. Uganda was the worst performing exchange in sub-Saharan Africa last week. If you're looking at it in terms of year-to-date, looks like Ghana still continues to lead, because Ghana is up about 43.4%. The overall market for Ghana, the all-share index for Ghana is up currently about 43.4%. Looking at it in Lusaka, seems like the elections were really good for the South African country, because right now Zambia is up as well, 21.8%. And then Kenya is 18.4%. But now if you bring in terms of regional stock markets, and it's very sad we do not have a regional stock market in East Africa. But if you're looking at it, the one for the West African block, BRVM is up 23.5%. So that makes the NSE, in terms of performance, fourth, and Zambia third, and BRVM second. So yeah, this is pretty much interesting, but we'll definitely be keeping bay and keeping watch so that we tell you guys when the NSE takes over or when Ghana comes down. But I don't think it will be coming down anytime soon, so you guys have to be prepared for that case as well. And Zambia seems to be having a lot of positivity from Zambia is having a lot of positivity from the elections and the new regime. So pretty much interesting. Ali, back to you.
I don't know. It's always interesting to see maybe other opportunities of investing, especially equity investing in regional markets.
Yeah.
Right, regional markets. Thank you. Also, I see someone on the chat commented that you've used interesting 9 times. I think key part of your branding, but hey, none of my business today.
All right, guys. Though whenever something is interesting, we have to really say it's pretty interesting.
11. Anyway, global markets, Felix. I'm looking at data here, and we've seen that. What am I looking at? We've seen that the Dow Jones for the week was down 1.39%. Jesus, almost all global
shares. All the major global indices were down last week.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think happened?
Well, to give you guys the data, Ali, the Dow Jones was down 2.2%. The S&P 500 index was down 1.7%. The NASDAQ index was down as well 1.6%. And I think it's pretty interesting just to see guys on what was really happening last week across various financial markets globally. But I think one of the things that we really have to know, first of all, is October is usually a very interesting month for investors. If you're probably investing, then you need to know October is coming up. I know we're in September, but October is a very interesting month. So guys are probably getting anticipated for that. But one of the things that really stood up for last week, first of all, was that the COVID numbers in most of the major global economies, looking at it in terms of US, UK, China, you know, the numbers have been on the gain, and guys are now wondering if you might want to look at the numbers again, look at it from a third wave. And last week, I think the US had mentioned that the peak for the third wave is probably at its peak right now, and that would be something as well for a very interesting bit. Probably another discussion. We might probably have to invite a health official, you know, to give us more insights onto that bit. But with that week, one of the things that also guys were concerned about were the inflation worries. And then also remember that earlier on, Christine Lagarde, that's the chairperson and the managing director for the European Commercial Bank, said that they would start reducing the fiscal stimulus that they've been giving, mostly on the bond buyback program.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, she said, don't call it tapering because it's not tapering. So I don't know what she wants us to call it. So pretty much interesting for us as investors. And so last week, I think one of the things that we're really going to be looking at is, remember that Joe Biden also said that every public servant, or what was the word that they actually used, must get a job. And remember, right now, guys are being encouraged to get a third shot against the COVID vaccine, against the COVID, the coronavirus infection. So pretty much interesting. Ali, yes.
The vaccination, just
all large employers, are required to be vaccinated.
And that definitely includes federal employees. And actually, for federal employees, unvaccinated individuals could face disciplinary action.
Yeah, and also remember, one of the things that also came in earlier is that there was news that some of the senators in the US were actually saying they had a little bit of a concern with the spending plan, and they were proposing for review on that budget. And that's one thing that I know a lot of us would probably be looking into. Remember, on Wednesday, there was a report that Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said that they could back for as little as about $1 trillion in terms of the spending plan. And remember, Joe Biden had said that they would probably be looking for... Sorry, President Joe Biden. I'm seeing Ali is here looking at me. Yes, US President Joe Biden. Yeah, titles matter. Had said that they would be looking at about $3.5 trillion spending plan. Ali, if somebody were to give us... a $1 trillion budget for this East African country, where would we be?
Someone told me last week that we should not plan with other people's money, so I'm going to walk away from that question slowly.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that really stood out, and one of the reasons why the markets were also down, is because the Labor Department also reported that... that the inflation would probably be rising. Remember, producer prices were up 0.7% in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also looking at this in terms of the job claims. For the first time, we actually saw an 18-month low level for the job claims. And so this was something that was pretty much interesting. But then looks like the job claims are going down, but the inflation is probably rising. So... is it printing by the Fed, the crrr sound that the Fed are always making? You've probably seen that meme where Jerome Powell is holding and he's printing. He's technically printing money out here. So, that's something that is pretty much interesting. And remember, guys, one of the things that we have said, we've said earlier on, is that don't forget, the central banks are allowed to print money, but not you. I know somebody asked me earlier, why is it illegal when I print money and the Fed do it every day?
Some way it's wrong when you don't wear a mask, but then it's okay for the askaris. Felix, we've seen that in global markets this week, most of the indices, especially in the US, were down. maybe what are some of the other other parts of the world where, you know, investors looking to venture offshore can look into? What's happening in Europe? What's happening with the Sensex in India?
First of all, guys, I think it was a very mixed week in Europe, because we saw the European stocks, the 600 index, really gain about 1.19%. Actually, it was down 1.19%. The German Xetra DAX was also down 1.09%. The FTSE MIB index in Italy was also down 1.45%. The CAC 40 index, that's the major index for France, was down as well, about 0.39%. And overall, the UK's FTSE 100 index was down as well, 1.53%. So, looks like Europe was pretty much on the red for the week. So, one of the reasons that Europe was down, I think we've mentioned this earlier on, is because of various policies that are probably being conducted by the European Commercial Bank, ECB. And they say that they would lower the pace of the bond purchase program. And remember earlier on, in March last year, Christine Lagarde had come in and they said that they were looking on, you know, doing a bond purchase program. They call it a PEPP, where that's a pandemic emergency purchases program. And that was supposed to be held all the way until March this year. But then in March this year, they extended that again. And so right now we're seeing that they have pushed on to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but also ECB raised its forecast for 2021 economic growth to 5%. That's from 5.6%. That's for the European area. Yes, not for this country, guys. So don't confuse that. We'll be looking at that as well later on. On other equity markets as well, I know we're always interested in Tokyo. Yeah, I know for those of you who probably looking at whatever we're all looking at, yeah, you might be interested in Tokyo. And the Nikkei N225 in Japan was up. So Asia was a very interesting bit. Unlike other global markets, can we just say Asia was up, just like Ghana and also as Kenya, as Uganda and all the other markets were going down? Asia was probably posting gains, because the Nikkei N225 was up about 4.3%. The topics share index was also up as well, 3.7% for the market. And interesting bit as well in China. So the main reason why Japan was up is because Japan is expecting a new prime minister. And with a new prime minister coming in on board, there's a political certainty that there could be more economic stimulus into the country. And the BOJ governor, Haruko Kuroda, had said in an interview that the Nikkei rates would probably remain low so as to enhance the effect of fiscal policy. So yeah, that's one thing that I know it's pretty much interesting. Chinese stocks were also up. Can you guys imagine? US stocks are down, but Chinese stocks are posting gains. The Shanghai Composite Index was up 3.4%. We're seeing the CSI 300 index for large cap stocks in China was up 3.5% as well. And really, we are also looking at, even including the 10-year government bond for China was also up 2.89%. Can we just go to China and invest, but then worry about getting your money out of the country? Interesting.
You just answered the question yourself. Felix, as you wonder how we can go to China like they came to our continent.
Oh my God, that's personal, man. I don't share the same sentiments, guys. I might want to still go to Shanghai, you know, or pick up my stuff from Guangzhou at the port. So
right. Maybe as we wrap this up, Felix, what are some of the things that you're looking for this week, especially in the local markets?
For the local markets, I think there's really nothing much. The one thing that I know we're really expecting is just to see on to what really would happen. Remember, East African Breweries PLC, almost called it limited. They're still limited liability companies, but they love that bit when you call them onto that bit. So East African Breweries will be holding their AGM on the 14th. That's tomorrow. And so that would be an interesting bit as well that we'd probably be looking into. But also various things. There's been a lot of news about Safaricom Ethiopia, and it would be just interesting just to see on to what effect or what level that would have on the share price for the counter. As we speak right now, Umeme is up, KPLC, Housing Finance, Kenyeri, I&M Holdings. Those are the top gainers. And NBV is hitting it on the loser side. NBV is down about 9.9%. I don't know what's really moving onto the counter. And Scan Group has also turned red. Remember in the morning when we spoke, Scan Group was one of the gainers. But now Scan Group has turned red, emerging as the top gainer with 368,400 shares traded on the market. Scan Group is down about 6.47%. And then... yeah, the remaining stocks are the usual guys who are always on the losing end. IGADS Limited is down 5.8%. Uchumi and, yeah, Favorite Home Africa is down as well, 2.56% onto the market. So, yeah, we'll probably be just be looking onto what the large cap counters will be looking at. The week, likely to be a muted week, but for activity, it will be up. Remember, after the primaries, really, guys will definitely come back onto the market. Yeah, but on the global stocks, I know there's a lot we're probably expecting. First of all, today before markets open, after market close, we'd be waiting for Oracle Corporation to release the Q1 earnings. So pretty much interesting for the company. Remember the analyst forecast is up to an earnings of about $0.97 per share compared to the earnings of $0.93. where the company was at in the previous quarter. So we'll definitely be looking onto it. And also, we are waiting for tomorrow when Apple would release their... We're hoping that they bring in iPhone 13. So imagine if you bought iPhone 12 yesterday and then... Or if you buy iPhone 12 today, you might want to hold on and just see what new features are probably going to come in with iPhone 13. And that is one thing as well that we're hoping that would be in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a football fanatic, yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo was back to Manchester United. And we saw Manchester United PLC, the shares really moved up. And we've seen a lot in terms of games. Looks like finally Manu is going to look onto the thing. The one thing that they've been missing for a very long time, they're finally going to get back onto the play. The games have been okay, but also one thing you really need to know is there's a company that is known as Manchester United PLC that actually owns the team. So Man United PLC will be releasing their financials on Friday after market close. So that is the last thing that I'm probably expecting this week. And would it have a similar impact on the share price after market close the same way we saw the share price rally at a point when the company announced that Cristiano Ronaldo was coming back into the company. I don't know about you, Ali. What do you have? I know you had some news on Alibaba. You were sharing that with me, but we didn't complete the conversation.
I think for Alibaba, we have the AGM coming up on Thursday this weekend. That's going to be pretty interesting to listen to, given that we've had a few ups and downs with the regulator.
And there was actually more news today regarding the Chinese regulator giving more demands to Ant Group.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tech clampdown in China is really going to be a hit on the global space. It would be a concern, but it's also a good thing in some way.
I'm curious, there's this darling that you have a few months ago, Didi. How is she doing?
I haven't really had on to Didi. I stopped looking at it. At times it said count your losses. If you invested in Uchumi, come on, count your losses. If you invested in Uchumi when it was at 10 shillings, at 15 shillings, count your losses, go away. Yeah, you invest in Didi and you let it go, man. I don't know about you guys, but that's technically my personal opinion.
Right.
Yeah, Ali, anything else on your end?
Nothing much on my end. Looks like it's going to be a good week.
It definitely will be. So thank you, everybody. And in case you have something that you probably might want us to mention and we did not mention it today, please feel free. Go to HISA app, download the app. There's a discussion platform. You definitely would be able to, you know, an opportunity to have the discussion right on your hand. So you let us know what you think and we can definitely be able to give you guys our insights onto that bit. At the same time, HISA app gives you a lot of features, including this podcast and many more. This podcast will be up on HISA. There are a lot of other podcasts as well that we previously did about markets, about tech, stuff like Bitcoin, for example. There's been a lot and we touched that last week. You might want to head over to HISA and just get your thoughts over this as well. Also, another thing that is really important is market data. Remember, without data, we can't make informed decisions. And so what we're basically doing at HISA is giving you guys the right data at your fingertips so that you can always live data, right data at your fingertips so that you can always make those informed decisions before you can be able to make that purchase. So thank you guys for joining in. It's been an awesome session having you guys on board here today. Last one, Sally?
Nothing on my end.
See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.